Fasten your seatbelt and turn up the radio. We're going on a road trip. I'm Glenn Moberg, and today on Route 51, we focus on the continuing effort to eradicate polio and its lingering effects on those who contracted the disease in America decades ago. The scourge of this deadly and paralytic disease seemed to reach a heyday in the late 40s and early 50s following World War II, killing children through respiratory failure, putting others in iron lungs, and leaving still others crippled. The Salk vaccine came into use in 1955, and it seemed like polio had been cured. But today, the disease is still a serious problem in third world countries, and even a threat in America, where religious and cultural traditions and fears of non-existent side effects keep people from taking the vaccine. And now increasing numbers of polio survivors who got the disease 60 or more years ago are finding the symptoms returning in their old age, a condition known as post-polio syndrome. Later in the program, you'll hear from Bob Williams, a polio survivor and owner of the Central Wisconsin public relations firm Idea Associates, and also from his wife Mary, who is helping the Stevens Point Rotary Club in its efforts to fight the disease. We'll also hear from the nation's leading expert on post-polio syndrome, Dr. Frederick Maynard of Marquette General Hospital. But first, we're going to listen to an interview that I conducted earlier this week with Jerry Apps. He's a Central Wisconsin farm historian. I imagine a number of you are familiar with his work. His new book is called Limping Through Life, and it details his experience coming down with polio in 1947 on his family's rural Wild Rose homestead. Here's Jerry Apps talking about his new book, Limping Through Life.
I, for years, avoided saying very much about my polio experience because I didn't want anybody to know that. I wanted people to think of me as just an ordinary, everyday guy who was trying to make his way, and I didn't want people to know that I had grown up and at age 12, contracted polio and was not able to do much of anything. I couldn't play sports. I couldn't do the farm work that was needed. I didn't want anybody to know that because I had this tremendous feeling of worthlessness that came out of the polio experience. Most people think of it as a physical, something physical, and it is indeed that. But there's an emotional side to it that's even, in my estimation, more powerful. So those were some of the reasons that I avoided doing it, and now it's all out there. And of course, you reach an age, I do at least, where I don't care anymore what people think about me and what I've done.
Mm-hmm.
So I wrote the book.
Tell us just briefly about that old family farm and what it was like growing up there in the Depression.
Well, I was born in 1934, which was right in the middle of the Depression. Our farm was in Washera County, just west of Wild Rose, a couple of four and a half miles. Sandy, hilly, stony, tough place to make a living. We had a small herd of dairy cattle, 14, 15, which we milked by hand. We had no electricity. We had no indoor plumbing. We farmed with horses. It was a different era, a different time. And twin brothers, and we all worked together to make it, and we did.
You know, it was very important for you to be able to work on the farm just in order to help the family survive.
Absolutely. The expectation on these small family farms was that everyone, boys and girls, mother and dad, were all partners in the endeavor, working together, and indeed, you're right, to survive. Each one of us had our chores to do, starting, I suspect, way back when we were 3-4 years old, where we carried in wood, because our home was heated with wood stoves.
You came down with polio when you were 12 years old, but you led a very active life before then. In addition to all those farm chores, what were some of the things that you enjoyed doing?
Well, I was, we did a lot of hunting, a lot of hiking, fishing, swimming, all those sorts of things that kids do. I even, one time, when I was, I suppose, 8-9 years old, I mentioned this in the book, I won a foot race, at Little Silver Lake, when, on the 4th of July. I was awarded a can of asparagus for winning that race, and I showed that to my mother, and I was so proud.
So you led a very active life. You've written about going on long hikes, skating in the winter.
And then, sure.
And then you came down with polio. What do you remember about the day you were stricken with it?
I remember it very well. I attended a one-room country school. I was in eighth grade, and I was coming home with my twin brothers, dragging our, this is in January of 1947, dragging our sleds behind us because it had been a great day at school for sledding and all the rest of it. And that evening, I noticed that I had a sore throat and a headache. And my head ached like something I'd never remembered previously, and I had a sore throat that I couldn't hardly swallow. And with a fever, I suspect, to go with it, and went to bed. The next morning, I already began to feel my leg hurting, something fierce, and within the next couple of 3 days, my knee became paralyzed and frozen at about a 45-degree angle. So they took me down to the hospital, and at that time, in the middle and late 40s, there were polio victims every which way. In fact, we knew that the neighbor kid only half a mile away had polio and had died. And I think my folks wondered maybe if that's what I had, but they were hoping it was something else. And Dr. Haddon looked at me, and he looked at my dad, and he looked at my mother, and he said, I think it's polio that Jerry has. And then he said to me, Dr. Haddon said to me, and he said, you are very lucky. I said, what do you mean lucky? Here I'm 12 years old, my leg is paralyzed, I can't even stand up, couldn't even think about walking. And he said, very bluntly, you're still alive. Because at that time, so many kids were dying from polio. And the Wild Rose Hospital halls were lined with iron lungs for those children who had bulbar polio, which affected the respiratory system.
There are two different kinds of polio?
Yeah, they're paralytic and bulbar. Paralytic affected the limbs, generally legs, and more often boys than girls, but girls got it as well. But the bulbar kind was the most lethal because it affected the respiratory system. And many of the bulbar victims, even though they spent time in iron lungs, did not survive.
You know, young people today don't remember polio and how summertime was accompanied by this strange, contagious disease that killed so many kids and crippled so many kids. But was there a fear in the air every time summer rolled around and you'd read or hear about polio cases in the news?
Absolutely. Starting for some reason, the incidences of polio erupted right after World War II, 1945. And from 45 to 55, throughout the nation, and no state was spared. Wisconsin had a terrific number of polio cases. It just affected so many people. And it devastated not only those who contacted the disease, but it devastated entire communities. And there was this tremendous fear because people did not know how it was contacted, how people got it. They did not know that.
Mm-hmm.
So when you don't know something, there's a tremendous fear, and it was almost out of control. People just were frightened to death of even talking to another person.
Right, right. How did your dad react when the diagnosis came in, and they thought you might not walk again?
That's right, and I say this in the book, and I've never forgotten this. And this sounds a little quaint, maybe, to say it this way, but when my dad heard that I had polio and was paralyzed, and he was standing there with his cap in his hand, and the look on his face was the same look that I saw several times when one of his best cows died. And that's a look that I've imprinted in my mind. I've never forgotten that. And those who are listening who are farm people will know what it's like when you lose, in the case of a small dairy farmer, one of your best cows.
But your dad wouldn't let you sit around and mope around for very long.
He didn't. I was so angry with him because by April, right about now, I'm a skinny, miserable, angry little guy with a paralyzed leg sitting at home, not at school. And the whole another story is the teacher who brought my lessons out each day. But my dad finally, he said, there's corn ground to be disked. And your arms work, don't they? And I said, well, they do. And he said, well, I'm going to sit you on the tractor, and you steer the tractor and pull the disc in the corn ground because it's time that we got going with the spring work. And we had a Farmall H tractor. Farmall H tractors had the front wheels were close together. And in order to turn the Farmall H tractor, you not only had to turn the steering wheel, but you had to push on one of the brake pedals, which were on the right side. And you push the brake pedal according to the direction that you wanted the tractor to go. And so I'm on the tractor, and it's a nice, pleasant day in April. And it felt good to have the sun on my back because I'd been inside all these months, really. Mm-hmm. And I'm going down a little hill, and here is the wire fence coming up at me. And I'm trying to figure out how I'm going to turn this tractor because my leg did not work at all. I could not even get the foot on the brake pedal aside from pushing it. And I hit the wire fence, and I tore out a bunch of fence posts and broke some wire. And I thought, oh, my gosh, I'm going to be in for it now. And my dad comes running down the hill, and the first thing he said, are you okay? And I said, I'm okay. I was just disgusted with everything. And he said, well, climb off the tractor. And I thought, well, he's going to send me home. That had been it. And he turned the tractor around with the disc, and he said, now climb back on. And I said, I can't drive that thing. I can't turn. My leg doesn't work. He said, well, you just try it again. And I did that for a couple of weeks, and by the end of 2 weeks, my leg was working enough that I could operate the brake pedals and turn the tractor. And each night, he rubbed my knee. Oh, it hurt something fierce. Huh. He rubbed my knee with Watkins horse liniment. And he always figured, he said, well, good for the horses, that's good for the people, too. So he's rubbing his horse liniment on my knee. Well, by the end of 2-3 weeks, my knee began to work, and I could stand up, and I could even walk a little bit.
Well, I remember as a kid, there was a boy who went to my grade school who had polio as a young child, and he had to walk in braces. And I remember that he was shunned by a lot of our classmates. Did anything like that happen to you?
Yes, indeed. Softball was a really big deal in those days. And the country schools, they played each other in a kind of a pseudo tournament. We didn't call it that. Well, I couldn't hardly walk. And so the teacher, oh, bless her, she was, Faith Jenks was her name, just a wonderful person. She said, well, I'll tell you what, we'll make you the pitcher of the team because pitchers don't have to run very much. And so I'm the pitcher for the softball team, and I had two choices when I came up to bat. If I would hit a looper, a little single kind of a hit, it was a lost hope because I'd fall down on my way to first base. I just couldn't run at all. But I had strong arms because of all of the work I'd been doing now. And so about every third time I'm up to bat, I hit a home run. And then I'm fine because I limp my way around the bases and all is well. neither team wanted me on it because I was a loser. I couldn't run.
I'm Glenn Moberg. You're listening to a special edition of Route 51 Regional Talk Radio as we look at polio and post-polio syndrome. We'll be back with the final part of our interview with farm historian Jerry Apps about that new book, Limping Through Life, and then get the reaction from polio survivor and businessman Bob Williams and his wife Mary Williams of the Rotary Club of Stevens Point right after these short words.
Support for WPR comes from Rely Local Wausau, building the local economy and strengthening the community by making local business everybody's business. More about locally owned and operated businesses at relylocal.com.
Our forecast for north central Wisconsin, turning mostly cloudy with a chance of rain after midnight tonight, a low of 34. Friday, breezy and mild, partly sunny with a chance of showers, a high of 64, a low of 40. Saturday, partly cloudy, a high of 66, a low of 44. Sunday, partly cloudy, a chance of showers late in the day with a high of 70 and a low of 52. We've got clear skies across north central Wisconsin at this hour, 41 right now in Eagle River, 43 in Woodruff, 44 in Antigo and Stevens Point, 49 in Wisconsin Rapids, 46 in Phillips, 52 in Wapaka, 49 in Wisconsin Rapids, and 45 in Rhinelander, Land O'Lakes, Tomahawk, Marshfield, Merrill, and outside our studio in Wausau. Now the final part of our interview with farm historian Jerry Apps, whose book, Limping Through Life, details his childhood struggle with paralytic polio. Jerry, was there a positive aspect to your polio as you were growing up? Did it help turn you into the writer, the historian, and the philosopher that you've become?
Absolutely. Of course, I didn't know it at the time, and I didn't know it for a number of years. I just felt so miserably sorry for myself. But there are two directions I discovered that one could go under those circumstances. You could continue feeling sorry for yourself and just let everything slide. Or you could do what I did, and this may not sound as humble as I would like it to sound, but you become an overachiever. You try to do things to let people know that, by golly, you weren't as worthless as you thought you were. And thus, because I couldn't play sports in high school, I was in a typewriting class and soon became editor, first assistant, and then editor of a high school newspaper, the Rosebud, it was called. And I had a staff of 12 reporters working for me, and I would not be the writer today. I would not be the historian today, and I don't know what kind of a philosopher I am, but I would not be any of that had it not been for polio. And as strange as it sounds, and I've got the polio syndrome thing coming back to visit me with a bum leg that's bothering me these days.
Well, let's talk about that for a second. Post-polio syndrome. Ill-defined symptoms supposedly affect people years after you come down with the disease: fatigue, decreased mobility, pain, weakness, muscle atrophy. I'm reading off of a brochure here. Did any of that affect you?
Yeah, that's all of it. Starting at about age 60, I noticed I was limping more. And at age 70, I was really limping. And then within the last 3-4 years, now I'm feeling a lot of pain in that bloody leg. Aspirin and Aleve and all that stuff helps, but it's still there, and the limp has gotten more profound. I'm walking with a cane these days, but by golly, I'm still with us, and I'm still able to, my head still works and my fingers still work, and I am not feeling sorry for myself at all. I'm just being inconvenienced a little bit. Post-polio syndrome can be absolutely devastating. I asked my doctor one time, was anyone doing research on this for those of us who are polio survivors and are having polio come back to revisit us? My doctor's a young guy. He looks at me right in the eye, and he said, no, nobody's doing any research on this. And I said, why is that? And he said, because you're all going to be dead in a generation. He was at least honest.
You know, Jerry, the Salk vaccine came around in 1955. It changed everything in America, and there were some very positive efforts, a lot of them led by the Rotary Clubs, to eradicate polio worldwide. And they have been successful to some extent, but in some third world countries, religious and cultural traditions are keeping kids from getting that vaccine.
That's true. And there's a lot of misinformation around. Part of that misinformation is that polio has been eradicated in the world. It has not been eradicated. Especially in some African countries and other third world countries, polio is on a rampage. And for a bunch of reasons, the vaccine is available. But for a bunch of reasons, children are not being vaccinated in these countries. But let me not let the United States off the hook, because there are a number of children in the United States who are not being vaccinated for polio, with the mistaken notion that there's some after effects of the vaccine that are detrimental. And further, that with the eradication of polio, why do we need to bother? we need to bother. Because people these days travel the world. And these kids who grow up without the benefit of the vaccination, if they happen to be visiting in one of these third world countries, and the chances of that are great, their opportunity for coming down with polio is tremendous. Before I forget, I want to applaud what Rotary International is doing, because they're one of the few organizations that are standing up and saying that we've got to continue to confront this awful, awful disease that doesn't have to be. It just does not have to happen. And Rotary's doing a good job of taking that message around the world.
Jerry Apps, farm historian and author of numerous books, including his latest, Limping Through Life, detailing his childhood struggle with paralytic polio. And you can find out more about his work at jerryapps.com. I'm Glenn Moberg. This is Route 51 Regional Talk Radio on the Ideas Network. We're looking at not only polio, but the condition that Jerry Apps just described, post-polio syndrome, which is affecting a lot of people who came down with polio in the late 40s and 50s who, for one reason or another, they thought that they had this disease licked or at least under control, and here the symptoms are coming back again. We now welcome Bob Williams, a polio survivor and Central Wisconsin businessman. He's the president of the public relations firm Idea Associates. Also his wife, Mary Williams, past president of the Rotary Club of Stevens Point. Rotary, as Jerry just told you, has for many years made the eradication of polio a central theme of their clubs. And I guess I should give you a caveat. I, too, am a member of Rotary. I'm a member of the Rotary Club of Wausau. We'd like to hear from you, 1-800-780-9742, 1-800-780-9742. What do you think about Jerry's story? Do you know somebody who's been affected by polio or post-polio syndrome? Maybe you came down with the disease yourself in the late 40s or 50s, and you're having some of these symptoms. We'd like to hear your story. 1-800-780-9742. Bob and Mary, your reactions to what Jerry just had to say. Bob, why don't we start with you?
Well, my reaction is that Jerry's a very accurate reporter. I won't go into my symptoms and coming down with it, but it was very, very similar. And and his story of having polio, the after effect, is quite similar to mine. What I particularly enjoyed about what Jerry said was his finale, his final, and that was Rotary is doing something about the post-polio syndrome, as they did worldwide on polio. And so that really encourages me, who is in the process of polio, being treated at Ministry Healthcare and here in the Mayo Clinic in Rochester, Minnesota.
Well, Bob, Jerry was 12 years old when he contracted the disease. How old were you?
I was 29.
29?
Yes, I had a 29, married to a child, and Mary was pregnant with our second child.
So the two of you had already been married by the time Bob contracted it, Mary.
Yes, and the last thing in the world I thought would happen to Bob or to me is to have polio. But polio was still raging in Wisconsin and other parts of the country, and Bob went on a business trip to Syracuse, New York. We think that that's possibly where he came in contact with it and came back, and within, I think it was about 10 days, he experienced the paralysis. His right arm was totally paralyzed. And
did he have the same symptoms with the headache and the fever and the sore throat? And
he had a fever and pain, and the paralysis started in his right arm, so he couldn't even lift his arm to brush his teeth or to do anything. And so And his legs were greatly weakened. He became very weak. And
here you were pregnant with your first child.
Second
child. You already had one. Boy, that must have put a tremendous stress on you to have to face something like that.
Well, it was. It made a huge impact on us as a little family. And any of the people that we had come in contact with, Bob taught a Sunday school class, and we had come into contact, or had been to parties and things mm-hmm. like that. All of those people had to be given gamma globulin, which was, they thought at the time, something that might, if not stop the polio, at least soften the impact.
Well, they didn't even know how it was transmitted at the time, did they? They thought it was airborne, like the flu. And my understanding, correct me if I'm wrong, is that it involves sanitation practices, not washing your hands.
Physical contact between two people. And I mean, the example I use is you're in a strange town in a hotel in Syracuse, and you touch to turn on the hot water. The person who had that room ahead of you was coming down with polio, and you contacted the polio virus by hitting the faucet. It had to be a physical contact between a polio person and a non-polio person who would pick it up.
Well, Bob, you came down with this, but it certainly didn't keep you from leading an active life. And even today, can I ask you how old you are?
I am 87 years old.
87 years old, and you're
still... Mary's a much younger one.
And you're still running your own public relations firm, Idea Associates.
Yes.
You're at work every day. And your hand, your right arm is still paralyzed.
I had to learn to... I wrote poorly with my right hand before, and I write poorly with my left hand afterwards.
How did that affect you as a young man when you were 29 years old? Did you get discouraged?
Yes, but I had the good fortune of being told by the doctor one day in Florida in December, January would be 3 days up here in recovery. And I went down to the Sister Kenny Institute in Fort Lauderdale for 7 weeks with Mary and, our little child, two years old, and her mother to help us. And, I had acute fatigue. The legs wouldn't hold me up. They had to lift me onto the plane. 7 weeks later, I came back after 7 weeks of physical therapy, and I felt so much better because I could walk off the plane. But I am a person that says physical therapists should be canonized. They are so important and so wonderful. By the way, I have a physical therapist, Ministry Healthcare, in Stevens Point, and she is one of those.
So you were able to develop the courage to press forward with life. You didn't spend a lot of time feeling sorry for yourself, which was Jerry's example. You know, his dad put him on the tractor and told him to make it work.
And that's, man, I fortunately was not involved with manual labor, but one of Mary's golfing friends in her foursome said to her, what is your husband's handicap from polio? And you know what she meant. Well, I being a golfer and Mary a golfer, Mary replied to him, the handicap is 13. And the woman said, I don't get it. And Mary said, well, he had a 5 handicap before he came down with polio, and he has an 18 handicap now. 5 from 18 is 13.
Do you remember, as Jerry talked about, the fear that would grip this country, particularly in the summer when polio cases seemed to skyrocket? And again, nobody really knew how it was passed from one person to another.
Yes, I was growing up in Neenah, Wisconsin. In fact, I graduated from Neenah High School 100 years ago. And my mother knew I was going to get polio. The epidemic, as the Mr. App said, Fox River Valley was hit very hard. We closed the pools, we closed the theaters. My mother made me sleep on the floor in the living room because it was cooler than the upstairs bedroom, no air conditioning then. And we lived in fear. And that fear was always there, I guess, in my mind. And when I got it, as Mary said, I got up in the morning and I couldn't brush my teeth. I knew I had polio just like that.
Jerry described hospital wards lined with polio patients, many in iron lungs.
Yes.
You know, just a mind-boggling description. Well, and many of them children, most of them children.
Well, it used to be called infantile paralysis. And then Franklin D. Roosevelt came down with polio at age 39, and they had to change the definition. And so it became polio. And they didn't want you in the hospital, But in Stephen's Point, they wanted me to come to Wausau, by the way, because you had a ward here for polio. But it was full. And so they kept me at Stephen's Point, and I know that the nurses took great precautions in coming into my room, as they should have. But you couldn't transmit it after you had it. It was one of those diseases, the 20 days before you had it, mm-hmm. you could transmit it.
And it didn't keep FDR from leading a very active life?
He's a role model for all of us, isn't he?
And the press at the time, with different standards than they have today, took great care not to photograph him in his wheelchair, which would never happen today.
Isn't that true?
You say that you've got this post-polio syndrome, Bob. What are the symptoms? What's been happening to you?
My shoulder and my right arm were wiped out by polio. The large muscle from my shoulder starting here down the back on the right-hand side, it has not constant pain. It'll come under physical or mental stress. Mary says I get nervous because I'm making a speech someplace. And true, and it starts up. So you take a Tylenol, and the rest of it is the legs are fine, the left arm works fine, the right arm just period doesn't work. But the pain comes constant there. And then I just recently I got a pain in the right hip, and that went away, and now it's the left shoulder a little bit.
So all of this started coming back later in life.
About two years ago,
at the age of 85.
That is correct. Yeah, nothing in between. Interesting. Nothing.
Well, Mary, it's obvious that this medical condition wasn't something that could deter the love you two feel for one another or your long life together. How has living with Bob increased your sensitivity to polio and now post-polio syndrome?
Well, I was extremely drawn to the effort that Rotary clubs have made around the world to eradicate polio.
And you're a past president of the Stevens Point Club.
Right. And the discovery of post-polio syndrome wasn't immediately apparent to us at all, but physicians say that they began to discover examples of post-polio syndrome in the 80s. And I was one of the first women members of Rotary in our area.
They only let women into the club in the 80s, which is mind-boggling to me, but that's another story.
Mind-boggling to her.
And learning about the effort that was being made to eradicate polio was inspiring to me. And then in September 2010, my Rotarian magazine printed an 8-page article. I mean, it was the Rotarian magazine that went around to all the Rotarians, but my magazine was read by Bob Williams, and the article by Kate Nolan described post-polio syndrome.
And she called it polio second act.
That's right.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. And you asked me a question before. You asked the symptoms. Noticeable fatigue. That I have at times. Muscle pain in areas where you had polio. I have that. Decreased mobility? Oh, sure. Progressive weakness? Yes. Muscular atrophy? No. Difficult swallowing? No. Cold intolerance? Yes. I get cold when other people say, isn't it comfortable? It's 70 degrees. No. I'm respiratory? No. Sleep disturbance? No. And I think that's the important thing of this message here, that people know what the symptoms are. And every doctor should ask every patient that comes in complaining about something that's one of those and say, have you ever had polio? And that opens the door. It says, no, okay, now we'll go and explore others. But if you had polio, now we have to go through a long series of tests to determine, is this post-polio syndrome or is it not?
Polio survivor Bob Williams and his wife Mary, who is active with the Stevens Point Rotary Club, which is, like all Rotary Clubs, working to fight polio worldwide and now to publicize post polio syndrome. We'll be back with Bob and Mary, and we'll also hear from Dr. Frederick Maynard. He's a board-certified specialist in physical medicine and rehabilitation at Marquette General Hospital and Aspirus Kewaunee. He's also one of the nation's top experts on post-polio syndrome. I'm Glenn Mobrig. This is Route 51 Regional Talk Radio. We'll be back after this. I'm Glenn Mobrig. This is Route 51 Regional Talk Radio as we look at polio and post-polio syndrome, a condition that affects people who contracted polio as much as 60 or 70 years ago or had recovered from some of the disease's symptoms only to find them returning, sometimes with a vengeance, later in life. An underdiagnosed and under-researched condition with no organized, broad-based advocacy from either the medical community or healthcare consumers. If this topic interests you, if you know somebody who suffered from polio or might have post-polio syndrome, if you've got some questions, we've got some people who are very, very aware of the disease and its effects. 1-800-780-9742. That's 1-800-780-9742. If you're a polio survivor, we'd also like to hear from you. We'd like to hear your story. Let's listen now to Dr. Frederick Maynard. He's the board-certified specialist in physical medicine and rehab at Marquette General Hospital and probably the top expert on post-polio syndrome in the country. I spoke to him yesterday about the condition.
We still have well over more than half a million polio survivors from that era who are still alive and with us today, and they're experiencing new problems. So for them, for many of them, it feels like their polio isn't over.
What are those problems?
Generally, they're known as the late effects of polio. They result from a combination of aging with the residuals of their original paralytic polio. And additionally, some of them do develop a new deterioration of the nerves that underwent previous damage. And so they do experience a progressive neurological condition that has that a name known as post-polio syndrome has become adopted.
Do you see a lot of these patients in your practice?
Well, I've been seeing them in a variety of practice places since 1983. I think I opened the first post-polio clinic when I was still on the faculty at the University of Michigan in Ann Arbor.
Is there a typical post-polio syndrome patient, or is this something that varies depending on who the person is, how they contracted polio, and how the disease progressed?
Well, I guess I'd answer that by saying every polio patient was in many ways different. So you had people vary from having no ability to move any arm or leg or even breathe, so they ran an iron lung, to people who recovered from their polio and walked normally and functioned normally, and you wouldn't know that they had polio. When you then superimpose what post-polio syndrome is, it then further varies, okay, in terms of its severity. But the things that would be typical about them would be a person who had a fairly severe case of polio and who made an excellent recovery. People who had a bad case, but in fact then had a long, protracted, but good recovery, so that they then functioned normally, so you hardly would know that they had polio, for 20 to 30 years. And what they complain about, what they begin to experience, is a progressive degrees of new weakness, a lot of fatigue, and they develop a lot of pain. So pain, weakness, and fatigue are the hallmark of a typical post-polio patient.
What causes this? Is the virus still in these people?
No, the virus. There is no evidence, and a lot has been looked at, but there is no evidence that there is a live virus still in the people. What is in the people are fragments of the old dead virus pulled apart. Some of the fragments of these old dead viruses, for some not clear reason or unknown reason, can change to be an antigen or like a new irritant that triggers an immunological response that ends up being destructive to the nerves that are still remaining and functioning.
Give me a worst case scenario. Describe for me one of the worst patients that you've seen who suffered from this syndrome.
I've seen several, really, that were people who were walking without any, you know, apparent difficulty, walking normally, and able to do their jobs and function a fairly busy life, to then who, over the course of 5 to 10 years, become so disabled by fatigue, weakness, and pain that they end up having to primarily use motorized wheelchairs or motorized scooters to get around and struggle to just get in and out of those devices and to still do their own self-care, you know, dressing and bathing and things like this.
If a patient comes to a doctor, just a general practitioner, complaining of fatigue, complaining of muscle aches, pain, what questions should that doctor ask the patient?
Well, one, they should at least get some basic history of the person's polio. You know, did they have polio? Were they hospitalized with a polio?
We understand that you're going to be speaking to a district conference of Rotary clubs in the near future. What are you going to be telling them?
Well, some of what I've told you. One is to make them aware that there are a lot of polio survivors still alive in the U.S. and among us. The second issue we want to tell them and make them aware of is how many of them are, in fact, getting worse, having a lot of new problems, and how there is help available for them and how to access that.
That's Dr. Frederick Maynard, and he will be speaking at that Rotary District 6220 conference. That's a conference of the Rotary clubs in North Central Wisconsin and Michigan, I believe, Mary.
Houghton, Michigan.
They'll be up in Houghton, Michigan, May 16th through the 18th. And Dr. Maynard again mentioning that there is treatment available, and what he said to me is that it's complex, and it varies from patient to patient. But basically, it's a combination of medicine to take care of the pain and physical therapy in order to help strengthen the muscles that have suddenly gotten weak.
And an exercise program. I am in a water exercise class at the university at Stevens Point 2 times a week for an hour, and also I walk three-quarters of a mile to a mile 3 times a week at the university indoor track. And I'm supposed to do that, but the danger is don't over-exercise. The doctor told you about the nerves, and they would get worse with over-exercise. You mm-hmm. could hurt yourself more, so you got to be very disciplined. And Stephanie Olson, my physical therapist, really lets me know, don't over-exercise, Bob.
And, you know, we heard Dr. Maynard say that there's no live polio virus in the victims of post-polio syndrome, but somehow these broken pieces of the dead virus create an irritant that affects the immune system, and that brings back the symptoms in a way that he says isn't clearly understood.
Not by Mary or I either, because we've heard the same thing and medically and in the labs, that's the word for it. They just don't know. But the important thing is, Glenn, and I want to thank you for it, for this program, the important thing is that everybody who has had polio or who has a friend, a relative, a business associate who had polio, if the man complains of any of those symptoms and says, well, I'm getting older or whatever, I'm weaker, no. Go see your doctor, and the doctor should ask them, have you ever had polio? Yes, I had polio, but I was 5 years old. Now let's start a regimen of exercise program, and he'll tell each case is different what you should be doing. But that's the important thing. You are alerting an audience right this moment that don't know that somebody, a friend of theirs, a relative, may have post-polio syndrome, but he's got to ask the question, hear the doctor say to him. Get him to the doctor. Have the doctor say, yes, you had polio. Yes, okay. Now let's take it from there.
Bob Williams, a polio survivor. Mary Williams, active with the Stevens Point Rotary Club. Mary, we're going to come back in just a minute here and talk about some of the things Rotary is doing to combat polio worldwide. I'm Glenn Mulbrick. This is Route 51 Regional Talk Radio. Turning mostly cloudy with a chance of rain after midnight tonight, a low of 34. Breezy and mild tomorrow, a chance of showers late in the day with a high of 64. Saturday, partly cloudy, a high of 66. Sunday, partly cloudy, a chance of showers late with a high of 70. Clear skies right now, 45 degrees in Wausau. I'm Glenn Mulbrick. This is Route 51 Regional Talk Radio. Mary, we were mentioning the Rotarian, and on the cover of this month's magazine, the May issue, it shows a woman wrapped in a shawl applying the vaccine to a young child with the caption, "This woman is risking her life." And it details how health workers in a number of places, particularly, here's one example, Sierra Leone, carried out their planned national immunization days even in the midst of a revolution, despite artillery fire, the execution of civilians. Now Sierra Leone is polio-free. Yemen has been declared polio-free. But in Nigeria, for instance, political and religious leaders boycotted the polio vaccine in 2003, arguing that it was tainted and part of a Western ploy to spread HIV and render girls infertile. Polio cases there are increasing. In Afghanistan, people who volunteer find themselves in the midst of a guerrilla war. In Pakistan last December, 9 healthcare workers administering the disease to children were murdered after the Taliban blocked a planned round of immunization efforts for 280,000 kids. And then one more example, in India, 70% of polio victims in one province were Muslim. That figure dropped to 29% due to a Rotary-led initiative that involved Muslim leaders educating their own people about the vaccine's safety. So it's kind of a spotty record overseas.
Yes, and it has been become increasingly dangerous for the workers to go into places. And the misinformation, the lack of information, and the political turmoil has led people to be suspicious. They're questioning anything like this, particularly if it seems to be coming from the U.S.
From America, and there's an anti-science attitude that's involved there, too, and myths like it's spreading HIV to their people. You know,
yes.
And you've got these old religious and cultural traditions. That's tough trying to combat that stuff.
Yes. There's been an excellent documentary called Barely an Inch, Just That Far to Go to Eradicate Polio Around the World, and it gives information about the fighting the cultural misunderstandings and the and the lack of education about some of these things. But it isn't only abroad. There are people in the United States who continue to be misled about using the vaccine for their own children, and there are children growing up without being vaccinated, which is a terrible thing to consider.
And some of the same kinds of claims. In the U.S., I've heard people claim that the vaccines have dangerous side effects, that it might be responsible for hyperactivity deficiency disorder and other childhood problems. No evidence for this at all. And again, with a population that travels all over the world, the young people, they could come down with polio. It's a terrible disease.
Yes, we do live in a global society. And the parts of the world where polio is rampant right now tend to be more isolated. But that won't remain so, because they will be leaving, people will be coming in. And there will be examples of polio going on for some years yet around the world. But it's just a terrible thing to think that it is happening here in the United States,
where it was almost eradicated.
Yes.
After, Salk came up with a vaccine in 1955. He could have made millions of dollars if he patented it. He gave it away. Gave it away. What a saint.
A true scientist. But I think also you should note, the records show that there are going to be 20,000 possible more post-polio patients in the state of Wisconsin in the next 10 to 15 years. That's the figures, and I have some from Mayo Clinic where I was at. There's going to be 400,000 more cases of post polio in the United States. So what you're doing here, Glenn, and what has to be done is alert the doctors and alert the possible patients who have had polio. Get on a plan if you've had polio to help prevent you getting the post polio.
And again, 60% of polio survivors will develop post polio syndrome.
Yes.
We want to thank today's guests, polio survivor Bob Williams, the president of the public relations firm Idea Associates of Stevens Point, also Mary Williams, past president of the Rotary Club of Stevens Point, Dr. Frederick Maynard, board-certified specialist in physical medicine and rehab at Marquette General Hospital, and farm historian Jerry Apps, whose new book about his struggle with polio is titled Limping Through Life. You can find out more about Jerry and his work at jerryapps.com. I'm Glenn Moberg of Wisconsin Public Radio. Thanks to our executive producer, Rick Ryer, our on-air producer, Jane Ritger. Thanks, as always, to John Altenberg for the Route 51 theme. Next week on Route 51, a very special program as we welcome Peter Yarrow, formerly with Peter, Paul, and Mary, and former Congressman Dave Olby, who will perform live in our Wisconsin Public Radio studios and share their stories of politics and music in the 1960s. Peter Yarrow and Dave Olby performing later that evening, May 2nd, in the Center for Civic Engagement Theater on the UW Marathon County campus. It's a benefit to create a new civic resource center, and we encourage all of you to attend. Thanks for riding along with us today. Forward, as we say in Wisconsin. Until next week, we're heading out of town.